Thompson. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. On the show tonight, we'll be chatting about handling disputes with our legal expert. We'll talk all things pets and tenancies, plus check in on the market in Browns Bay. Is this where you'll be buying your next investment property? Remember, you can download our podcasts from www.barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters or listen anytime on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Good afternoon and welcome to Property Matters. Great to have you here. I'm Stephen Dallow and am delighted to have you tune into our show. Now, each week we will have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape and give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. Now, this is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page and we'll get the experts to answer you in upcoming episodes. We have a great lineup in the studio tonight. They've fought the traffic across the Harbour Bridge here in Auckland and we're going to be bouncing it between them. But to start off with, let's catch up with each one. And the first person we're going to chat to is Mitch Singh from Glastor Ennor. Welcome to the show, Mitch.
Thank you, Stephen. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. So look, for our audience listening, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into the role that you have now.
Thanks. Well, I'm a partner at Glastor Ennor. I specialise in dispute resolution. We're a full-service law firm, so we cater to the full spectrum of our clients' needs. But we are really at its core a property law firm. We've been around since 1907. And so Auckland and its growth has very much been a part of our story as well. And, you know, for me, it's a privilege to be a part of that. We, for our clients from large corporations to Mars and Pars to first home buyers, I take real pride in that. For me, I started at Glastor Ennor when the Rugby World Cup was on. So that's almost 9 years to the day. And my areas are property and contract. They often go hand in hand. So you could say that's my core area of work.
Cool. And you're no stranger to the legal action because you spent some time in the Court of Appeal and Supreme Court.
Yes, that's right. Great experiences, particularly the one that went to the Supreme Court. Certainly a highlight for me. It concerned a property development in Queenstown and took 6 years to resolve. So a lot changed for me in that time. I got married, I bought a house, it was a Barfoot and Thompson listing, got a dog, got a couple of promotions, and in the end it was a split decision. So three judges sided with us and two judges didn't. So, you know, being successful, I'm naturally going to say it had the right outcome. But it does show, though, even the brightest legal minds can disagree on a point of law.
Absolutely. Now, one of your focus areas now is in disputes. So I guess tell us, what are some of your tips for those listening to dealing with disputes in a real positive way for both parties?
Yeah, that's I've pondered on that. It, disputes should always be a last court should always be a last resort. You know, it can be costly, stressful and unpredictable and unpredictable, as my Supreme Court thing just shows. I think being calm and reasonable, you know, it's we often say that, but actually it will take you a lot further. Clear, communicating well, and trying as best you can, I think, to see it from the other side's perspective. We have an adversarial system. That's what disputes are about. What does the other person want in this? And, you know, a very senior lawyer once told me, the loudest voice at a negotiating table often has the worst hand. Mm-hmm. I've always found that you don't need to be, you know, an aggressive in an approach. And it then just becomes a competition on who's got the loudest voice.
Yeah.
It doesn't help anyone.
It's a good life lesson, really, isn't it? You know, and always seeing things from the other side is just so important. Look, we've all seen the wonderful courtroom dramas on television and all the dramatics, but I guess when you're dealing with a dispute, it's less about the drama and more about the real people involved. So how do you keep them safe when you're dealing with them in a very high-stress situation and emotions are running high?
Yes, I have to admit to getting a bit frustrated when I watch those because, as you say, it's not how it works. They're good fun. You're absolutely right. Legal matters can be very stressful for people. And, you know, these are everyday people. They're mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters who have their jobs. You know, they have lives to live, people to look after. And there's a very personal element to disputes. Someone being sued or where their possessions are somehow being challenged. That goes to something quite deep in us, you know, and that fight or flight reflex, you might say, you know, to defend what's yours, to defend yourself. That the way we're wired, I think, produces stress. Now, that part I can't really control, but I think a lot of anxiety and stress comes from the unpredictability of the process. You know, so I think that can be helped by ensuring a client has a good understanding of the potential outcomes, a roadmap of sorts of how this will play out. And just like a roadmap, you know, there's often detours that can be taken or off-ramps to say, right, well, this can be resolved in this way. And that isn't always immediately clear at the outset. But as much as possible, I think it's really important to keep it in perspective as well. You know, it can be very consuming. And I guess that's what lawyers are there for as well.
It's having that expert to steer that path, eh? To steer you down that right roadmap, as you say. And that's ultimately what you pay for, to have that expertise. You said you don't watch them, but come on, there must be one. What's your favourite courtroom drama? Ally McBeal, Boston Legal, what else have we got out there?
Yeah, I always wanted to be able to say Denny Crane in a courtroom.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just can't.
You haven't broken out into song yet.
No, I might lose my practicing certificate.
Well, we'll see if we can find out by the end of the show his favourite programme. Well, thanks, Mitch. We look forward to chatting to you more throughout the show. Let's meet our next guest joining us in the studio tonight from Barfoot & Thompson Browns Bay, Darren James, who is the branch manager. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
You had the courage to cross the Harbour Bridge this afternoon?
I took the other way. I thought it might be easier.
Brilliant. So Browns Bay is your patch in the Barfoot and Thompson map. What do you love about that area?
I think if you ask my team, they probably say a coffee first thing in the morning.
Lots of choice.
We have got lots of choices at Browns Bay, so I've got a few that I frequent. So cafes, the beach is the obvious thing. It's always crowded. Every time I drive into work on a... Now, during the week, there's so many people out there walking their dogs. It's just vibrant. So we've got the high street location as well. So we're actually fortunate, even though we've got the Albany Mall not far from us, I think it's good to have a vibrant high street. Mm. I think it's good for the economy. It's good for the local residents.
It still has that community village feel too. You know,
yes,
you walk
does,
along,
yeah.
People are smiling, saying hello. It's something that you just don't see all over Auckland now. There's a few suburbs that are lucky and have that, and Browns Bay, I think, is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I think it's a genuine sort of high street location, and it's got a good commercial centre and a good mixture.
Cool. So how long have you worked there, and I guess what excites you about being branch manager in a place like Browns Bay?
So I've been at Browns Bay managing the branch for about 3 years now. I've actually been in real estate since 2002, so as you can probably tell, I'm English, but I married a Kiwi, so she dragged me all the way over here. She initially gave me 3 months to earn some money from real estate, otherwise I'd have to get a proper job.
Tough,
18
call.
Years later, I've managed to kind of earn some money, so that's been good. So my journey's been with Barfin and Thompson all that time, but for the last 13 years I've been managing, and I've been slowly making my way up the coast. So I started at Northcote and then Glenfield and now Browns Bay.
Great. And from an investment point of view, I mean, it's been a pretty crazy year. What is Browns Bay and the surrounding suburbs like for investors wanting a good return on their rental property?
Well, I think it's getting better. I think on the North Shore of Auckland, I think for some time investors have really been looking for the capital gains in their property, and they've been getting those over time. However, I think with interest rates as they are at the moment, investors are starting to get good yields, good returns on their investments as well. So it's a double whammy at the moment for investors, so it's a good time.
Yeah, and people we've been talking to from a tenant perspective, one thing COVID has really helped us this year with is people working from home far more. So gone are the days I've got to be able to commute to the city by 8:30 in the morning and out at 5. Actually, we're living in this flexible world, so why not live near a beach and a village and a beautiful setting and still only a motorway's quick trip away to the city?
Yeah. I think we were discussing this before we came on air that life has changed for so many people, and actually we look after so many tenants, we look after so many landlords, and we just want to provide some sort of stability to people in a very uncertain world at the moment. Mm. So yeah, what better place to live?
Yeah. And well, touching on that then, you obviously have a great team of staff who look after an investor's property. Why do you think it's important to have your property managed rather than do it on your own, and I guess this year even more so?
Yeah, well, I think I am an investor myself, and I've got a couple of properties, and I have those managed by my team. So really, in a nutshell, I think it keeps me safe knowing that I've got a good team looking after my properties. It's real peace of mind. And I think as a landlord, I think it's good to keep your investments at arm's length a little bit. Just keep some separation. And so that the team really do work well. And they stay ahead of the abreast of legislation changes far better than I do. Because it's their work. They work 100% at it.
Well, just like we were just saying to Mitch, you know, you pick your moment to bring your expert into your world. You're spending all this money on an investment, let's have an expert that's taking care of it.
Yeah, and I think actually when you work it out, it's actually a fairly small price to pay as well. It's probably the same as me going for a coffee first thing in the morning.
Well, let's meet one of your wonderful staff now, Amanda Chu, who works in your property management team. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Now, you're very well known all over the North Shore as the pet lady on Facebook, if I can call you that. You've built quite a profile up with your wonderful dog, Hunter, who featured in some of our advertising for tonight's show. How long have you had Hunter?
I've been a very proud Schnauzer mum for over 2.5 years. And it's actually interesting because Hunter has actually helped with conversations with landlords, just discussing the fact that a property could be more appealing to tenants simply by, you know, considering a pet.
Yeah, fantastic. I never thought I'd interview someone who just called themselves a Schnauzer mum, but that's okay. So look, from a tenancy point of view, first of all, what should tenants be doing if they want to rent a property with pets? How do they prepare to sell themselves if they've got a dog like Hunter?
So first and foremost, be honest. If it goes to the vet, it's a pet. So we often have, you know, tenants try and convince us that they have just one or two pets, they're part of the family, and that's certainly true. There are also, on the other hand, some tenants who try and disguise pets. So there's a Facebook meme going around where a dog is disguised in a teddy bear. And when you do that, landlords get put off renting to tenants with pets in future because you haven't been upfront with them. So a lot of that kind of preparation that you would do as a tenant is to get your references lined up. So first and foremost, landlords will be looking at what sort of tenant you are. If you have all your references, if you can provide, you know, what you do with your pet, especially if it's a dog during the day. So if it goes to doggy daycare, if it comes to work with you, put it down on the application. Let that be known. And again, you know, it's how you sell yourself as a tenant. So you can have children, you can have pets, you can have a group of adults renting together. Have all that information ready for the landlord so that they can make that best decision based on what they know.
you recommend a pet CV? I've seen those before where literally it's got the photo and some references and a bit of information. Humanise it a little bit too so people see actually what size of dog are we talking about.
Absolutely. A pet CV is always helpful, and that's the thing. We're, as property managers, telling your story on your behalf to a landlord. So if you have pictures of your family pets, you know, doing things as a family, what you're doing in your house to look after your pet and keep it well presented. So some pets are crate trained, for example. Include that information. And then sometimes tenants can actually have references from dog behaviourists, dog trainers. If they go for doggy walks, you know, pop that on there.
Yeah. Look, I know when I was a property manager, and I'll be honest, I'm not a big pet person, much to the disgust of my daughter. I will admit that, but I was amazed at how many applications always wrote, whether it's a dog or a cat, it's an outside dog or it's an outside cat. It never comes in, which is really often hard to believe. You've already answered by saying tell the truth. I mean, how upfront should tenants be, and what can they then do to protect the house that they're renting from any damage from their pet?
So that's the thing. We have conversations with owners about, you know, opening up the properties as a pet-friendly option. So when you are a tenant and you say you only have the dog outside, we know that's not true. But that's the thing. If you have a conversation with your property manager and tell them what you actually do with your pets during the day or at home, how you would look after the property, that's, you know, a really nice reassurance to owners and for property managers to consider your application. Tenants, look, In the end of it, if you are a tenant, whether you have a pet or not, if there is any damage or if you've made any kind of accidents, just own up to it and then we can fix it. So we've had tenants where the dogs have chewed skirting boards and, you know, heated towel rails and that sort of thing. Just tell us, because then we can address it. It's when you hide it, when you, you know, leave the property in that state, that becomes a problem. So things like, you know, get your insurance as a tenant, that always helps as well, because, again, if there is an unfortunate event where the dog, you know, urinates on the carpet, you can get that sort of help for, you know, addressing those issues. And then in the future, landlords are more willing to consider tenants with pets.
Absolutely. Now, Mitch, in New Zealand law, we can't charge a pet bond. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So what do owners do if there is damage caused by pets?
I'm actually really finding myself... Amanda, those are some really good points, because I think there's a dual responsibility, isn't it? On the tenant side, it's about owning up to it, because we are seeing a gradual shift. There are more and more landlords that are considering or being open to the idea of pets. But how do I say? Don't spoil the market by not owning up to these things. I mean, if they are part of the family, I have a dog, and I certainly would love for him to come with me to any rental property, but I need to take responsibility for that. Okay, it's going to sound trite, but I think good communication with the tenant is going to be key. Tenants might be less open to volunteering and hearing information, so maybe the landlord can instead initiate that conversation and say, hey, look, I understand accidents may happen. Let's talk about that. Please don't use bleach on the carpet, because that's absolutely going to
call
ruin
us
it.
So we can get the experts in to deal with it. Yeah.
Yes, correct. You know, that good relationship is going to be key. If things, you know, if there is damage and you can't reach an agreement with the tenant, then it's going to be treated like any other damage, you know, barring fair wear and tear, which, say, there's urine on the carpets or something like that, then it'll be a matter of going to the tribunal. Really good baseline photos are going to be very important. You know, and you might want to think about baseline photos as agreed with the tenant, and then after that, at your inspection, once you pick that up, well... the vast majority of tenants will acknowledge it, but unfortunately, then it'll be a matter for the tribunal.
Yeah. And we talked a lot last week with our guest looking at photography and the importance of that entry inspection and both parties agreeing to it, because that's the gold standard of what's going to protect you further down the track. We're going to take a short music break now, and after the break, chat about pets from an owner perspective and also discuss some of the changes to the Residential Tenancy Act and potential disputes that may arise. But here now is the wonderful song, Feels Like Home.
This moment needs
feels like home here on Planet FM 104.6, and our podcasts available from barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters. Now, this is a show where we want you to participate in it. We'd love to have our experts answer your questions. They can be on any topic or related to our theme of the week. So make sure you send us an email to propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz and keep an eye on our Facebook page to see what each theme will be coming up. Now today, Mitch, we have a question from one of our listeners, which I'm going to direct to you, no pressure, but the question is actually from a property manager asking, with the changes to the RTA coming into effect soon, so the Residential Tenancy Act, are you expecting a rise in disputes over having to give a reason for all terminations?
Yes, I think an increase is to be expected whilst people come to grips with the new amendments. There'll also, I think, need to be clarity around the definitions. For example, what constitutes antisocial behaviour? I think we'll get that fairly quickly, but we will see, we will need some tribunal involvement. That definition is not part of the legislation. You know, on a broad scale, I think I've never met a landlord who doesn't want to be the best landlord they can be. And they're not in the business generally of changing tenants every few months. And conversely, a tenant wants to, you know, the place they call home, and they need, they want to give it the love and treatment that that is associated with that word. So there's always going to be outliers. And look, I don't want to be too critical, but you don't hear about those so much because happy tenancies don't sell newspapers. Mm. But there are very many of those stories and good ones. Look, if a landlord is going to want to end the tenancy, there's usually a reason for it. Getting to grips with this legislation now is going to be a matter of understanding what the parameters are. Yes, there'll be a period of adjustment, and I think we'll see a lot more vetting of tenants, and that's where a good property manager, I think, is going to be very beneficial.
Yeah, making that choice right from the start. Absolutely. Darren Buffett and Thompson recently took out Best in New Zealand Real Estate at the International Property Awards. Congratulations. What do you think it is that's setting you apart from the competitors?
Yeah, we're very proud to win that award. And yeah, Buffett and Thompson, they've been around for a long time, so they know what they're doing. They've developed the resources and skills and really the teams to excel. So I've been fortunate, as I said earlier, to work for Barfoot for 18 years now. But we really do have a great team. I've got a team of close to 50 in my office, made up of the sales team and property management and admin. But when you look at the directors and CEO, they have an even larger team to support the company. So they have 75 odd branches. So it's a huge operation. So while it's a huge operation, they actually have very much a personal and a family feel about it. It's an incredible company. So I think every person who works for Buffett and Thompson feel like they have a vital role to play in the success of the company.
So thinking about the question I just posed to Mitch around the changes coming to the RTA, how does a team like your branch's team stay up to date with the constant changes to regulations and legislation?
So it's a challenge, really, at times. It's in my time in real estate, the legislation has changed so much, and we are, you know, for many good reasons, we're actually Well, there's a lot of compliance that comes into real estate now across property management and sales. Again, fortunate to work for Buffett and Thompson, so we've got considerable resources available to us. So our support team at Support Centre is amazing. The COVID environment has been actually a catalyst and driver of change for us as well. So our industry is no different from many others, where we've taken to online learning and webinars. They've very much become the norm. It's actually a fairly rapid way to learn and develop. So I know my own team is always keen to upskill their knowledge and skills, and we do many webinars and actually a good way to learn is just to discuss things amongst your team, because everyone's got their own experiences, and that really does pay dividends at times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, definitely your Zoom-type meetings and trainings has certainly been something that everyone's taken over, and we were talking about it before we went on air today, the part that it's played. But it is, you know, very effective for training and staying up to date. You've just got to remember to unmute yourself before you ask the question. That's the key bit. Amanda, if we head back to you, what advice would you have for owners when they're deciding whether to rent to tenants who have pets or not?
So it's really important to first ascertain whether your property is suitable for a pet. So we were talking also just before about apartments, for example. Some houses are just not suitable. So if it's on a shared driveway, perhaps, if it doesn't have the appropriate fencing, it may not be suitable. And that's where, you know, we use our expertise to advise owners whether it's an option or not. If it is, then it comes down a lot of the time to tenant selection. So if you look at how many properties are available that are pet friendly just on a Trade Me or a real estate search, there aren't many. So you would be, you know, excluding yourself from a large part of the market in Auckland with tenants who have pets or fur babies. My little boy, Hunter, is my fur baby.
Yep.
And a lot of tenants will be in the same sort of position where they would want a member of their family with fur on to be coming along with them in the next property. So, you know, it comes down to what sort of references they have. You know, you got to think and have an open mind, because at the end of the day, children draw on walls, babies vomit, and you still have accidents with tenants. So with a pet, it's the same sort of thing. You got to look at ultimately who the tenants are, what sort of references they have, and just take that leap of faith. You will find that you actually might be surprised.
And if I throw a question to the whole room, I'm imagining that tenants with pets are much longer stayers in their rental properties, as they know how hard it is to rent with pets.
Absolutely. We are across Facebook, as you've mentioned, so we're part of a lot of the local community groups, the Auckland Pet Friendly Rentals page, and a lot of people will say, I can't find a house and I've been looking for a long time, you know, or they've lived in houses for a long time and now they're looking to, you know, move to a new property because it's sold or the owner's wanting to move back in. So if you have a good thing going, you probably wouldn't want to change it. On the North Shore, tenancies run for about 2 years as a general sort of time frame. But again, you know, when you have a pet, you've got to think, will this be suitable for it? And a lot of tenants with pets don't want just a substandard property. So it's really, really a benefit to consider a pet.
Absolutely. Off air, Mitch, we were talking about how pet owners generally, it's a new layer of responsibility. So already you've got a tenant coming in that's used to being responsible for something, someone. It's a bit like, you know, a parent's got to make sure the kids are fed. Same with a pet. So that adds an element as well.
I think that's absolutely right. I was perhaps patting myself on the back there a little bit by saying I'm a lot more responsible than I might be. I do think there's a responsibility that comes with owning a pet. And, you know, I certainly want to ensure that there's a good place for my pet to reside in as well, and I think Amanda touched on a very good point. I don't think that, and I hope that it does change, but I don't think that right now there is a large number of pet-friendly rentals, and therefore I think there's a duty on, if you could call to use your word, fur parents, is that something as well? Then I think, you know, amongst one another, you don't, like I said earlier, don't spoil the market, and I think give landlords a good experience with taking that leap of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was a property manager, I always found my tenants with pets were some of my tidiest, cleanest, looked after the house the best, because they were very conscious of not wanting to ever lose it and have to look again. I like I said, I wasn't a pet person, but I had one house that every time I went to, the dog managed to get in every inspection photo. It would move into the room, position itself. In the bedrooms, it would disappear under the bed and pop its head out. So you also, another reason, don't hide your pets. They're going to come out in photos at inspection time. Darren, I'd imagine a place like Browns Bay, perfect place to have a pet because you've got parks, you've got beach, you've got flat areas, great places to take your pets for walks. And so location plays a big part in this when you're looking for a rental property.
Yeah, sure. I think location is plays a very, very large part, actually. Yeah, we've got parks. We've got a few hills around as well. So if you want to go a little bit further afield, then it's good exercise. And actually, as a dog owner myself, I found it is good to get you outside. And I think I've become far more sociable with people, with the public. You end up talking to people. And for my children out walking the dog, they actually interact far more as well. So I think pets have got such a large part to play in our lives. Mm. Could I just come back to a point that and another reason I think for landlords actually to open their eyes to the fact that there's many tenants out there with pets, there's a good thing for landlords here as well, because it does give them hopefully a long-term tenant, but actually it gives them continuity of rent all the time, because if you have any downtime between tenants, it really does affect your, you know, if you're looking at it as a pure investment, it affects your yield at the end of the day. And so there's something good to be said for having a long-term tenant who's stable. And in these uncertain times, stability is actually worth a lot.
Absolutely. Yes. During COVID times, it wasn't incredible. Wherever you saw, you just saw people out walking their pets. How did Hunter cope when you went back to work? Because, that must have been a withdrawal for some of these pets, having all this attention from the whole family.
Exactly.
And then suddenly, oh, gone again. What's going on?
Yeah, so that's the thing that we were quite concerned about, coming back out of, you know, lockdown and coming back to the office. We are very lucky because Hunter goes on a pack walk every Tuesday, and he goes with a whole bunch of other doggies, and they have fun and they learn, you know, the social kind of rules. And I've got a partner who works a lot from home, so thankfully that could carry on, and so he wasn't too affected. But it is nice that, you know, for us in Browns Bay in our office, we have so many pets walking past. We have this one lady with three huge, mountain dogs, Burmese mountain dogs, and they always stop at our water bowl. And one of them in particular looks at me and tries to get my attention so that he would get the treat.
Aww.
And that's the thing, you know, how do you say no to a pair of puppy dog eyes?
So treats are also available at Bath and Thompson Browns Bay. Excellent. Now, Mitch, as we are a new radio show, we're obviously just building up the confidence in our audience to send in some questions for us, and we're going to get you back on a regular basis to answer our legal ones. But if an owner or a tenant needed some urgent legal advice, where can they turn to, perhaps for free advice, and at what point should they engage someone like yourself?
Tenancy Services does a really good job of providing advice. They have an 0800 number that's free to call. There are quite a few community law centres as well around New Zealand that I think provide a very valuable public good, and that's free. And so those are immediate avenues for advice. If it's not a dispute in the tribunal, lawyers are not allowed to attend the tribunal unless the sum is over $6,000. But if it does exceed that, you may wish to get a lawyer to assist you. And if it doesn't, a lawyer can certainly still help you prepare your case, pick out the important points. But certainly, Tenancy Services and the Community Law Centres, they're fantastic.
And Amanda, if they have a property manager, then the property manager will represent them in tribunal, won't they?
Absolutely. That's part of what we do. We're here to protect landlords. And also, I think a lot of it's that education with landlords prior to, you know, situations turning to custard.
Yeah, absolutely. Darren, 2021, what's happening for you at Browns Bay next year?
Well, when I look into my crystal ball...
how did you do last year looking into your crystal ball?
Who knows, really? I would say... I have spoken about the global uncertainty, but I think in times of global uncertainty, certainly property remains a very reliable investment. So I think if you're either an investor or a homeowner, now's the time to buy. Just we're seeing many first-time buyers come into the market at the moment, and especially with the relaxation of the loan-to-value ratios, it's brought first-time buyers into the market, and I just think it's a great time to get on that ladder.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. Time has flown by, which it always does when there's good guests in the studio. So a huge thank you for joining us, Mitch. And if you would like to find out how to track Mitch down, send us an email to propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz, and we'll pop his contact details up on our Facebook page. And big thank you to Darren and Amanda from our Browns Bay Barfoot and Thompson branch. We'll look forward to seeing you and Hunter on our Facebook posts again in the future.
Thanks, Stephen. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
And if you want to speak with any of our guests or send us a question, send us an email to propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page and we'll forward it on to you. If you've got a question you'd like answered in the next few weeks, drop us a line. And if it's something nice and simple, we'll flick you an answer back straight away so that you don't need to wait for us to get in touch. Looking forward to catching you again. Make sure you check out our podcasts at barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters, and you can listen anytime